This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 4th, episode 1906, brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cussing this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Yes, good morning, everybody. You know what? I was complaining to Chad yesterday that I was tired. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've done two shows in a row. This is so hard. Whoa, everything is awful. And then he goes, didn't you used to do this like every day?
Yeah, I used to do this 5 days a week.
Yeah, and I said, you know what I did? He goes, how many years did you do it like every day? How many years did you guys do? I said, 10, 15? It's just all what we get used to.
you did what before you got so pregnant you couldn't do it anymore? Was it 3 years? Two or three?
We did 5 days a week for four years, 5 years.
Well, I still do 5 days a week, by the way. So
But you don't get up at 4:30. Thank you very much.
I do get up for 4:30, but it's voluntary. It's not mandatory. There's a difference for some reason.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I'm just stop complaining because it's not like I have to get outside and dig a ditch or something. So life is perfect. You know what?
People. Yeah, this does. It is starting to sound like a first world problem. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. My awesome job is like I have to do it 3 days in a row and get paid. Ah, so hard. But I'm just people ask me how I'm doing. Like I was at Monty's last week. They're just like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, I don't think I could be doing any better, actually. Thank you for asking.
And that's the answer people want to hear because nobody really wants to hear the answer.
Honestly, my shoulder kind of hurts a little bit. I've got this like little trick in my shoulder and my hips get really stiff if I sit down a while. But other than, you know, so.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear that. Wait, it's funny you mentioned that right before the show. I was saying, let me show you what kind of support I get from my friend Jamie. So this is the kind of loving, caring support. We work together all this time. I sign her paychecks and I tell her on the 19th I have to go in for rotator cuff surgery because I apparently broke the bone in there at some point like last year. It's been this way for 6 months. And there's a spur sticking into my tendon. So every time I move my arm, not only does it hurt, but it twangs like somebody twanged a rubber band because the tendon gets stuck on that little pointy thing. So it's not good. So I went to the doctor and I said, well, how about therapy? Can we do this with therapy? And he said, no, I need to go in there and scrape that spur out or it's never going to get better. So I got to do that on the 19th. And I said to Jamie, I said, oh, I'll take the 20th off. I'll take the next day off because I'll probably, you know, be on meds. And she's like, no, you're going to need a freaking 2 weeks off. This is awful. It's like, thanks.
I'm just saying that I have a friend whose husband had rotator cuff surgery and he's like an invalid. I mean, and it's been weeks and weeks. She's like so fed up. Jennifer, I don't know if you're listening, but she is so fed up with her husband. She's like, I feel like I have another baby. She's like, I have a new baby.
Well, I didn't really put much effort into researching this till the other night. And I got depressed when I saw this takes a long time to recover from. I was surprised, actually.
Yeah. You're like, I'm going to need a day off. I'm like, nope.
And then I'm going to be in a sling for like 4 to 6 weeks. And it's like, ugh. And, you know, we're planning on that big vacation next month. And like I told Jennifer, I'm not even allowed to use it for 4 to 6 weeks. So I don't think we could plan anything too aggressive on vacation. Because,
you're in trouble. I mean, that in the nicest way possible.
Thank you.
Like,
thank you.
It's not going to be that bad. Can I just tell you, though, like I've been putting together we're having Bad Advice for Horse People by Horse People today. And I really have begun to hate people. I'm reading this. I'm like, oh my God, these are like real things. Like, these are real. What you were here today is real. And I need to cleanse after this. I'm going to go ride my horse and cleanse my soul after this. But just stick around because we're going to have Bad Advice for Horse People by Horse People coming up. And what else are we having today, Glenn?
We have, shortly, in another 5 minutes, we have our health segment. Dr. Elizabeth Schilling's coming on to talk about what again? I can't even
Enterolith.
Say it. What is it?
Enterolith.
Okay. Whatever that is, she's going to talk about it. We have Pam Miller coming on, and she is with Stolen Horse International. We're going to talk about this terrible case that finally somebody got arrested for. There's been 21 victims, like 32 horses in this case. We'll talk more about it and give you the whole details later on. It went social media viral after her arrest.
Before her arrest, it was social media viral.
So we'll find out more about that coming up, as well as we have the book and some other stuff. Who knows? Maybe we'll get to a list today, too. But that is what's coming up today's show. Let's get to our Daily Winnies. My Daily Winnie is to 227 people down in New Zealand. Every year they do a roundup of their version of the wild horses. How do you say this? Kamawana was?
The Kamanawa.
Kamanawa horses. It's like their Mustangs down in New Zealand. It's their wild horses. The Wilson sisters, who recently won her second, Vicki Wilson won her second Road to the Horse. They actually work with a lot of these and help train them down there and get the word out about them. They have a whole TV show about them, actually. And this year, for the first time, they think that all 300 of the wild horses are going to be adopted out. And they put them down, the ones that aren't adopted out every year, they put down. So thanks to the efforts of the Wilson sisters and some others down there, it looks like they had 227 applications as of, I think, last week or the week before, and they think they're going to hit the 300 and that they'll all be adopted out. So that'll be the first year that's happened. So that my Daily Winnie goes out to all of those people who put in their applications. And I truly believe from what I read and heard that it's the Wilson sisters and their TV show, which is very popular down there, has done a lot to affect that. So you need a TV show about Mustangs, and maybe you too can get them all adopted out.
That's amazing.
Yep. So there you go. That's my Daily Winnie. Now it's time for yours.
Speaking of Mustangs, I wanted to give my Daily Winnie out to a Mustang girl here in the U.S., and her name is Katie Dixon. She's actually an auditor, and she posted this, and I just find it so beautiful. She posted, "I had a dream 3 years ago about developing a program where we pull 3 strikers from the BLM, funded in advance, gentle train, and rehome them." Do you know what a 3 striker is, Glenn?
I thought first when she said striker, it was a horse that strikes out a lot, but then my brain went to they're about to be shipped off because they haven't been adopted.
Yes. So they've been offered up for adoption 3 times and have not been adopted, which makes them sale authority, which means you can buy them for $25.
And do whatever.
So she wanted to get a bunch of 3 strike horses. So she said, "Today that dream came into full reality with the arrival of Shaman and Shavayo from a BLM facility in Arizona. Welcome, boys. Today you got your voice and all the love and compassion you could ever dream of. I'm proud to be a part of this collaboration with countless individual donations. Julie Jacobs, 3 Sisters Equine Refuge. These boys have been waiting 7 years to get out of holding." Yeah. And so I want to have Katie on. So make a note. I want to have Katie Dixon on. Oh my gosh. She got these horses out of holding pens, 7 years, three strikes. I mean, these horses are lucky to be alive, and they have won the lottery now because Katie practices a lot of the Monty techniques, and she's just an awesome trainer. I've seen a lot of the stuff she's done. So anyway, congratulations to these horses.
Drop her a note. Let's get her on.
Yeah.
She's super nice.
Let's do it.
Cool. Perfect. Very good. Well, I'm glad.
New horses, and their Mustangs that we got.
And she'll do a good job with them. I am more than sure she will do that. I wanted to mention, too, we got a lot of comments on this so far. And if you haven't had a chance last week, I put it out on almost all of our feeds for all of our horses or for all of our shows. It's so funny I said horses because I'm looking outside at the horses. On all of our shows for the Lyme disease episode we did. The special we did last week with Dr. Wendy and I. So check that out if you haven't had a chance to listen to it. We're getting a lot of good feedback and a lot of good comments on it, too. Jemmy is out today. She is working on another project for us this morning, but she said to say hello. She got to meet Reese the other night. Her and her son went down to meet Reese in Wellington, and that was the first time. She's worked on their shows for a long time. It's the first time they've actually met. So she had a great time with Reese down there. That's and awesome. It's official. The migration has begun out of Ocala.
Really?
Yep. All you see is horse trailers heading north. Big horse trailers, too. These jumpers, I determined something. The jumpers don't have small horse trailers. All of them have very large horse trailers, and they're all heading north right now. So the mass exodus of people has begun. And the other thing that has begun out of Florida, and it's probably out of where you are in Arizona, is the motorhomes are heading north, which means all the snowbirds are heading out as well.
See, I haven't noticed that yet because I shop at Trader Joe's in Sun City, and Sun City is a retirement community. So half the time when I'm going to Trader Joe's, I spend time helping people. So I'm like, you want me to get you a cart? Okay, hold on. I'll be right back. You stay right here. And then
take
that
10 hours to shop.
Oh my God, it takes me forever. But I feel like I'm being a good example for my son, like helping people. Even though I did that before, but like, yeah, Trader Joe's takes me forever. You want me to get that? Hold on. Just wait right here.
You can get a part-time job there and get paid for it, you know.
Right? I seriously could. I feel like I get my volunteer hours at the local Trader Joe's in Sun City. But I went there this week, and we haven't had the mass exodus yet. So people haven't left yet.
It's starting here. So I figured in another 2 weeks, we'll be able to get in restaurants again without a wait.
Exactly.
Horse people and old people are out.
Trader Joe's. And shop in less than 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right.
Hold on, let me get that bag for you. I'll get that. It's a top shelf. I'm 5'2". I'll get it. I'm taller than you. You're 4'6".
I do get asked, being 6'1", I get asked to get all things off the top shelf all the time.
Oh, yeah.
This week's health segment is brought to you by Purina Animal Health. Greatness never ages, so help your senior horses live their best lives with Purina Equine Senior Horse Feed. It is ActiveAge, a proprietary prebiotic proven through years of research to support a senior horse's aging immune system. To learn more, visit PurinaMills.com/ActiveAge. That's PurinaMills.com/ActiveAge.
And we have Dr. Elizabeth Schilling, and Dr. Schilling is coming on to talk about Enterolisp, but I want to say good morning because you have got up really early to talk to us. You're in California. Good morning.
Good morning. And listen, Gino, I was thinking, it looks like we have the polo exodus happening from Indio as well. I've noticed a lot of the polo trailers going back and forth on the freeway to LA, heading to, I think they go to Santa Barbara next. So we have the same sort of exodus on the West Coast.
There we go.
So where are you in California?
I'm actually in the Inland Empire. So I am in Redlands, which is between Los Angeles and Palm Springs.
Oh my gosh. Wow. You've got some beautiful desert around you.
Yeah, but your seniors never leave.
I love the desert.
They never leave. You don't have snowbirds there. They live there.
Well, there are some snowbirds, and I actually just learned last year that I think it's called Sun Country Airlines, maybe. There is a dedicated snowbird airline out of Minnesota. They only fly from Minnesota to southern parts.
I didn't know that.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
there's your extra trivia for the morning.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, be a flight attendant on that. Let me help you. Come here. You just sit down. I'll get your seatbelt. Hold
on
now.
Can you imagine how long it takes to load that plane?
We're going to start boarding.
I just learned about it.
We're going to start boarding the flights in 3 hours. Go ahead and open the doors. Okay.
I am 56 coming up, so we have to stop the senior jokes now. They have to end.
Glenn, who's going in for surgery next week, he said, don't talk about getting old.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, dear.
Knowing where you live, you must see a lot of these. Tell everybody, what is an enterolith?
Yeah.
So an enterolith, we sort of like to joke that an enterolith is like a pearl of a horse. Uh-huh. So they're made... They're concretions of mineral that are made much the same way that an oyster makes a pearl. So the mineral is laid down in layers. So if you slice one open, you tend to see these concentric rings, these layers.
Wait a minute. My guess is you don't wear them around your neck in a string.
No. Okay. Good guess. Really good guess. They're a little bit bigger than that. They can get to be pretty heavy. I have a bucket of a nice collection of them. And so
of course you do.
We I don't put them on my neck, I promise.
Okay, but, let me just stop you there, because Dr. Schilling, that is such a vet thing to do. You go into a vet clinic, there's always like enteroliths on the shelf. Like I went to Alamo Pintado and toured, and I'm like, there's entire shelves of enteroliths on the wall, like they're showing them off, you know. Weird.
Yep.
And the only way you can
I teach at Western
surgery.
University. Yeah, that's how we get them out. If they're small enough, they can pass them. And so if they're really small enough to pass, then the horse owner is lucky. But then we usually figure that horse could be a time bomb and it could be making a bigger one.
Okay. So you teach at Western, you were saying?
Yeah, I teach at Western University. I was just going to say, speaking of collection, I have a collection at home, and then I have several on my windowsill at work, too. So I have a parade through the office to see them when we're studying the equine GI system.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Okay, so what are they and how do they happen?
Wait, hold on. I got to ask if she's married and maybe just married to a vet. Like, who has that type of decor in their home?
Not married to a vet. But a horse person.
Okay. Yeah. That's the only way that's going to happen.
Exactly. But, you know, I've got my room. He's got his room. So we won't talk about what's in his room. He's a hunter. So I'm not.
This
so
is worse.
We have separate decor.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Okay. So carry on. So tell everybody, what is it? How does it form? And all that.
So they look like these big, smooth, round rocks, and we slangily call them stones or rocks. But they're just these big, huge chunks of mineral. They're fairly heavy. Most of them are round, although you can get them in different shapes. So if there are multiple enteroliths forming, they can rub against each other. If you think about what river rocks look like, how they rub against each other and they get kind of flat and smooth. Mm-hmm. Some of them can look like that, and some can end up looking like pyramids. And I have one group that came out of one horse. There were 6 or 7 of these pyramids to cram together. And so they're formed of magnesium, phosphorus, and ammonium. So they're very similar to the stones that are formed by crystals in cat bladders. And so cats that get obstructed, it's very similar. And they form in the large intestine. We think that there's a wider part of the large intestine. It's the last part of the large colon before it goes into the transverse colon. It's called the ampulla, and it's a little bit wider there. And so we think there may be slower transit through that section. And so there's time for these to sit there and accumulate. And if you remember chemistry at all from high school, the minerals precipitate out of the material that's in the colon, and they just layer on to these stones.
Wow. Okay. So when you have a pearl, from what I understand about that part of science, when you have a pearl, it's a grain of sand that gets into an oyster, and then the oyster lays down all these mineral layers to make the pearl. What the hell's in the middle of one of an enterolith? Is it a rock?
Sure. So this is a great mystery, because we typically think that the nidus or the center of it is something like a grain of sand or a piece of gravel, or sometimes it might be a little bit of baling twine, which is scary, or a little the end of baling wire for those of us who grew up with wired bales rather than twine, and there may be some parts of the country that still use wire. I have seen some that are cut open that there is not an appreciable nidus, at least to the naked eye. Maybe mm-hmm. if we got a microscope out, we could see something. It may just be that it's a really small piece of sand. Interestingly, I'm in the part of the world where this is sand land, USA. I mean, we have a tremendous amount of problems with sand in horses' colon, but they don't seem to be a huge cross population. So not all horses that get sand form stones, and not all horses with stones seem to have sand. So there's certain horses that are stone formers, and it's probably genetic because there are breeds that are more susceptible. It's possibly some diet relation, but they have to have a genetic predisposition to do so.
Really?
The horses that form stones tend to have a higher pH in their colon, but we don't know yet why that is, what genetic predisposition is making them have a higher pH.
Okay, so see, I'm in the West Valley of Phoenix too, so I'm just down the road from you, and definitely yep. sand. We're in sand land as
absolutely.
Well.
Yep, absolutely. So, and you're just the other side of where all of our alfalfa comes from in Blight.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, when we've got horses that have like a high amount of sand in their gut. Glenn, I don't know if you know how they detect sand in the gut, but you listen to the bottom of the belly and it sounds like an ocean. It sounds like the waves lapping up on the beach when a horse has a lot of sand in its belly. But is there something you can hear with an enterolith? Is there some detection outside?
So the way
they don't have little bells in them, the ringing.
No, unfortunately, or yeah, like the clock, like in Captain Hook, right, and Peter Pan. no, unfortunately, the way to find them ultimately is, as you said, with surgery. Many of them we can detect on abdominal radiographs, although that can't be done in the field. You need a special big radiograph machine, bigger than we can carry around in our trucks. And so you mentioned Alamo Pintado, so. Most, if not all, of the equine hospitals will have a radiograph machine that's capable of imaging the horse's abdomen. And so because they are these big mineral densities in this huge sea of food and water, if they're small, we might not be able to see them. But if they're big enough to obstruct, we're probably about 85% able to see them. I think most of the surgeons I talk to figure they miss maybe 15% of them on radiographs.
Wow.
Because there's so much else. So if you think about the size of a horse and the radiograph beam has to get through all of that. And so we usually have a suspicion based on the horse's history or based on our clinical exam when examining a horse for colic.
Okay. So what are the breeds that are most susceptible, and what are the clinical signs of an enterolith? Two questions.
Sure. So the most commonly affected breed is the Arabian.
Really?
And then Morgans and some of the gated horses. I see a lot of quarter horses with stones, and in some parts of the country, not so much here, but some parts of the country, minis will also form them. And then there's sort of a smattering in all other breeds. Thoroughbreds, for some reason, seem to be among the least likely to form stones. I know of a couple of thoroughbreds that have had enteroliths, but not that many.
Okay, and what are the clinical signs of an enterolith?
So the clinical signs are basically colic, and so they tend to present one of two ways. There may be a horse that may have had a problem for a long time, and so they might have intermittent bouts of colic where they get colicky. We might treat them, and they might respond to conservative treatment, like some laxatives by tube that help loosen the feed material around the stone. And so the enterolith will just sit there in the colon and the rest of the food can go on by. And they might have repeated bouts. So any horse that's in an area that is suspect for forming enteroliths, that's one of the breeds that might form enterolith that is on a diet that is likely to be part of the problem. If they have repeated bouts of colic, then I usually recommend to take the horse in to clinic and get it x-rayed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's some of them. And then there are some that never have a problem before. And the very first time it wedges, it's essentially causing an impaction, just like a food impaction, only it's more solid, obviously.
A stone.
And so some of them might actually have surgical level of pain the first time it happens, rather than being several intermittent bouts of it.
Oh, my God. Gosh, this sounds painful. So what are some of the ways that you, what are some things you should avoid when feeding your horse? Sorry, Glenn, I know we're running out of time.
No, you know what I'm thinking.
It's so fascinating.
This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking not only is there a million ways to kill your horse from the outside, there's a thousand ways to kill him from the inside too.
You're right.
Absolutely.
Why are any of them still alive is my question.
Because we love them enough and we can take care
of them. No, because we have people like you, we pay thousands of dollars to every year to make sure of that. So that's good.
It's worth it.
Yeah, that's
totally worth it.
God,
I agree with you. Totally worth it.
You know, we've been doing this segment for 8 years now and heard about every single way a horse can die. There's a reason that Jamie and I get a little dejected sometimes. It's like, oh my God, it just seems like everything's killing our horses, you know? And then I go outside every Wednesday and I look at my pony and he has every one of those things guaranteed.
Dr. Schilling, this segment has cost both of us a lot of money because yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I have to prevent this. So that's what I'm asking is, what is the way that we can avoid this while feeding? Because obviously, if you're saying they've got like some overabundance of magnesium and all of these things, what are some of the things people feed to create this and what can we avoid?
So fortunately, that's the most simple way to avoid it. It actually doesn't cost you extra money, and that is simply to avoid alfalfa. And of course, that's the least expensive way, unless you're in an area that you can only get alfalfa, and other hays are more expensive. But
like in the desert?
So hay that,
like in Florida?
Well, you know.
Yeah. Like in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona?
You have some Timothy? Don't you have some grass hays there as well?
God, I wish we had Timothy. We have that, and we have Bermuda.
Jamie, you just went away on us. Sorry.
Okay. Uh-oh. Am I there?
Go. Yep.
Okay. We have that. We have Bermuda. We have alfalfa. And then I feed Pacaverde, which is an orchard grass alfalfa mix.
So if you have an orchard grass mix, so if you can't completely avoid alfalfa, keeping it to 50% of the horse's diet is going to be helpful. You can also feed psyllium, so much like we feed psyllium to deal with sand, psyllium probably can help some of the smaller stones move along before they get the chance to be a problem. The key with psyllium is you have to feed enough. The little scoop that psyllium marketers have put in their container isn't nearly enough, and you need to have at least an 8-ounce measuring cup at a time. So I usually recommend 1 to 2 8-ounce measuring cups.
That's a lot of psyllium.
You can do that either. Say again.
That's a lot of psyllium.
Cha-ching!
Yeah. It's a lot of psyllium. Well, so you can also buy it in bulk. And so if you buy it in bulk, that tends to last you a bit longer. But
that's true.
So you can either do that for a week at a time and then stop, or you can give it every 3 or 4 days a dose. And that seems to help. And then, you know, a lot of people say feed them off the ground, feed them out of a feeder, and that will help them prevent them from picking up the sand. But I think that's pretty counterproductive. Horses are meant to be grazers. And if you look at most any horse, it'll take the food out of the feeder and strew it around on the ground and eat it out of the ground, which is more natural for them. So if you can feed them in a place that is covered with rubber mats or bedded in shavings or somehow off the sand, then that obviously helps too.
And okay, well, we've got the rubber mats here.
Out of your food.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
That's probably good.
Perfect.
Well, this is so fascinating. Where can people, if they want to contact you and ask questions or they want to book you for an appointment, where can people find you?
So I am working on building a website that is under construction. So currently you can find me at Western University of Health Sciences. I have the website's going to be EFSDV. No, I forget what it's going to be. I'm sorry. I really am just building it to be informational. My field is mostly dentistry. So the website was meant to be informational about dentistry. But, okay.
We'll have to get you on to talk about
that
too.
That's probably the easiest.
There you go. Absolutely. Facebook
is probably the easiest right now. It's Elizabeth Schilling DVM.
Okay, Elizabeth Schilling DVM. Perfect. Well, thank you very much. And we'll come back on because I want to revisit the dentistry thing because I've been seeing a lot of things about non-veterinarians practicing dentistry around this area and using things like sedatives and all these things that are not supposed to happen. So I would love to get you on to talk about the importance of using a veterinarian. So anyway, well, thank you, Dr. Schilling, so much. Fantastic. We'll book you again and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks a bunch.
Great, this was fun. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Go back to bed.
I'm working now.
Too late now.
All right. Do you know how to tell if your horse is a senior? If you've guessed age, you'd be wrong because not all horses age at the same rate. So how do you know your horse has entered their golden years? Well, you might notice gray or white hair around the eyes and muzzle, weight loss, low energy, decline in dental condition, or a choppier gait due to aches and pains. If any of these describe your horse, he or she might be a senior, and it might be a good time to start him or her on Purina Equine Senior or Equine Senior Active Horse Feed. They both have Active Age, a proprietary prebiotic proven through years of research to support a senior horse's aging immune system. With Purina Equine Senior, greatness never ages. To learn more, visit purinamills.com/activeage. That's purinamills.com/activeage. Well, for our horse lovers this week, we have a review by one of our terrific auditors of a product that you're going to need in mud season. Jennifer had a chance to do this, so let's take a listen.
And it's product review time, my favorite part of the show, where I get to sit down and hang out with listeners because they have gotten products in the mail, and they've tested them and are willing to voice their opinion about such tests. And I'm on the I'm on today with Hillary. How are you doing, Hillary?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing great. What part of the world are you from, Hillary?
I'm in New Jersey.
You're in New Jersey. And the product you tested is the Rockfish Ladies Adjustable Gloss Wellington Boots. And it sounds to me like Wellington boots being tested in the winter is a good idea.
Oh, gosh. We have had a terrible winter on the East Coast. It was strangely warm in January, so everything was mud, deep, deep mud. And then, you know, February was a little warm, too. And now March, we've gotten hit with, I think it was three nor'easters in 4 weeks or something like that.
Ouch. Ouch. You've given these things a workout then, haven't you?
Yeah, I have actually.
All right. Well, tell me about
your pretty good job.
Tell me about your Wellington boots. What did you love? What did you hate? How do they feel?
Okay, so I think it's important to know that they come in whole sizes. They don't have half sizes. So I typically wear an 8.5, and I had to order a lady's size 9, and they fit perfect, especially if you want to wear thick socks in the winter. That you still have plenty of room to layer up if you need some extra warmth on your toes. So I think start with that. But as far as my favorite thing about the boots, they're extremely light.
Really?
You would think that a rubber boot would be like heavy and clunky, but these aren't. These are very, very lightweight. To be honest, I thought they sent me the wrong thing when I opened the box because I'm like, there's no way there's boots in here.
There cannot possibly be a pair of boots in here. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, they're incredibly light. They're very flexible, too. So they're not at all stiff. They move really, really well. They're they don't feel like you're wearing a rubber boot at all.
So you won't walk like a
really
fireman?
Wonderful.
Is that what you're saying? You won't walk like a fireman?
Yeah, okay. And you're not going to clomp around or no.
Now, how tall are they? I can't really tell in the picture on horselovers.com because there's no person pictured wearing them. Are they like knee height, calf height? About what they are they?
They're up to the knee.
Oh.
And they have a really cool little adjustable gusset on the outside of them. So they can go quite large. If you have a larger or wider calf, you'll probably fit in these just fine. When riding boots in general, I usually run between a regular and a wide calf. So I had no trouble fitting into these, even, like I said, with big, thick, welly socks and things like that on underneath. They were great.
I kind of like this adjustable gusset at the top, too, because you can stuff your jeans inside there, because there's nothing worse than going out in the muck and the mire, and your pants get all covered with muck and mire, too. So you can just stuff them right down in there. So when you come back in the house, you can just pop your boots off and you're all clean.
Yeah. Yeah, they were great.
Are they insulated?
They don't have insulation, but they're rubber. There's nothing getting through there that does include air. So, you know, if it is cold out, you would, like I said, want to wear something a little thicker as far as socks go, but you're not going to have to worry about, you know, the breeze coming through or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They have a really nice cloth lining on the inside, and it's tacked to the boot itself really well. So I didn't have any experience with little pockets coming loose. Or
that's good to know.
Tearing on the inside.
Good to know, because that can be a problem.
Yeah, especially when you're trying to stick your foot in there and then your toe catches and rips the whole lining out. That's awful.
That's just bad. Now, what kind of tread are they? Aggressive tread, medium tread, or no tread at all?
Well, I was walking around in snow and ice, and I did just fine. So I would put them in the middle, though. Again, they're not super clunky. That was one of my favorite things about them. But again, yeah, I survived winter just fine in them. Didn't have any trouble with traction. And the footbed inside has like a nice memory foam sole to it. I usually have to put like the gel pads or something in all of my other boots, but these were so comfortable, I didn't even need it.
No additional insoles required. That's good to know, too. So these boots on horselovers.com come in black, dark olive, magenta, navy, and superberry. Which one did you choose?
I got the superberry. It's very, very girly color. It's a nice line between pink and purple. And I got the glossy one. So they're really, really shiny. They're actually really cute to just wear to like the office and stuff, too, as long as they're not, you got to wash them off first, obviously. But you can get away wearing them to work on a rainy day. They're super girly.
So they're good for farm gals as well as city gals.
Yeah.
There we go. And you seemed to, you felt that the sizing ran reasonably true?
Again, yeah. As long as you remember that there aren't any half sizes, order the next size up. And I actually emailed Rockfish about that directly and asked them, and they were super helpful. And Horse Lovers, if I ever had a question with them, was super helpful. So you're covered with these.
There we go. The Rockfish Ladies Adjustable Gloss Wellington Boots. As we record this review on horselovers.com, they are $89.99, available in sizes 5 through 10, whole sizes, and 5 different colors. You can find them at horselovers.com. Thank you so much for your review, Hillary.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer, for putting that together, and thank you to Horse Lovers for providing our auditors with the products to review.
That's right. Why you want to be an auditor, man. You get free stuff. Are $90 boots. I need some boots.
Yeah, I mean, there's some nice, nice stuff. I got a new batch I have to get out too. We're gonna have to do a fun day in the auditor room. Sometimes we do trivia contests to see who gets the products. So that's coming up. Let's get Pam Miller on here. She's been on the show before. She is from Stolen Horse International. We're going to call her live on here. Hopefully we get her. There's been a case that she's been working on for quite some time.
This is crazy. This is crazy. Hey, Pam. I can't wait to hear more.
Hey, Pam. It's Jamie and Glenn. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
Good. Well, you've been working on this crazy case, and we haven't talked too much about it here on the show. So could you take us kind of from the beginning and where we're at as of yesterday or day before?
Sure. We had received our first report back the end of February on a horse that had been given to a vet student for a companion horse for her gelding. And the individual was concerned, and, you know, she wasn't getting any kind of response back from the student. So she filed a report with us to try to find the horse. Well, in the meantime, after her report was filed, we received another report, and the very next day, at that point, we realized that something's fishy going on here. You know, there's two different states, two different individuals that didn't know anything about each other was essentially telling us the exact same story. So we started,
What was the story they were telling you?
The story is that they were looking to rehome their horse, and they were looking for someone that would be a good home, be able to care for their horse, and you know, because they may have had an issue that they weren't able to be ridden, or they were older, and they just, or they had something going on in their family life, such as one of our victims had a heart attack and needed to rehome his horses. One individual had a fire and lost everything and had to rehome her horses. And so they were just looking for someone that was going to be a good fit, reliable. And the story that they were given was, I'm a vet student. They'll be well taken care of. I'm looking for someone or for a horse to be a companion horse for my barrel horse because I'm not able to ride him right now that much being in school. So she, all the victims essentially felt that the story was very reliable. And the fact that she gave them the name of the school she was attending, she's a third year vet student. She would be able to take care of any medical issues that they had. They would get the best medical care possible because of the fact that she was a vet student. And as time went on, they would ask for photos of their horses and how they're doing. And she would respond and say, well, you know, they're doing great. I've been real busy. I haven't been able to get any photos for you, but I will. And then she never would respond again. Then as time would go on a little bit further, she would either never respond to the individual at all or would block them to where there was no ability to contact her anymore. So, you know, it started kind of a spiral effect, so to speak. You know, once the two reports went out, others started speaking up. Oh my goodness. This is the same story I was given. I think this is the same person that took, you know, has my horse. So it you know, people started panicking, wanting to know where their horses were. So at this point, you know, those two initial reports have now turned into 21 reports and 32 horses.
Wow.
Yes.
So
and we've had a couple more reports filed. Since last night. So,
oh my gosh. So, is this actually a vet student?
It is. She is a vet student at a university in Alabama, Tuskegee University, actually.
Okay.
And they found her, vet student. Right?
They found her. She was arrested last night or yesterday. Oh my, excuse me.
Gosh. So her name is Fallon Blackwood. She was basically going to these people saying, hey, I'm a vet student. I'd love to take your horse. And she took over 30 horses. Where did they go?
Well, that is the million-dollar question.
Really?
That is what all the victims want to know. We have located one horse, and he is in a very good home with another family that purchased him through an auction in Alabama. The exact same day that she picked the horse up in Georgia.
Oh, so she was just driving him to the auction. She didn't even keep him for a day or two.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what we're gathering at this point.
What a horrible person. Oh, my God.
So now, so this is an interesting legal thing, though, because they were giving her the horse. So
what'd she get arrested for?
Yeah, what'd she get arrested for? What were the charges? Fraud?
She was essentially the way it's worded is obtaining property under false pretenses. So and we have 5 states involved currently with regards to where horses were picked up, including Alabama, Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky. We have heard that there was somebody in Florida, but they haven't filed a report with us yet. And I'm sure there's probably a lot more individuals out there that just haven't come forward for one reason or another.
So what is it? Is it Alabama that picked this up and arrested her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Alabama was the one that arrested her, but it was on a warrant that was issued out of North Carolina.
Ah, got it. Is this a misdemeanor?
From what I can tell on researching it online, it looks like it's a low class felony charge.
Well, that's good. At least so it's a felony.
You think they should add up, you know, like you've done this enough in this many states.
Yeah. Well, that is what we're hoping eventually for this to, you know, wind up being one lump sum case from all the victims together. You know, the fact that they all have the same stories. And these are people that had no clue who each other was. And to come forward and give the exact same story, it was like somebody slapping you in the face every time you'd open up that new report and go, you've got to be kidding me. Another one. And, you know, in their defense, you know, they did what they felt was right.
Well, sure, and she had that sweet Southern accent, and she was probably just laying it on thick. I mean, she probably was. I can hear her. Can't you, Jamie, hear her, this girl on the phone with you, and she could probably convince anybody.
Y'all, I got this barrel horse, and I'm a vet student right now, and I really don't have time to spend with him, and he's just in the pasture by himself, and I'd love to get him a friend to hang out with. And, you know, being a vet student, I certainly can provide all of the necessary care that this horse is going to need, okay, y'all?
Because I'm right there. I mean, you're convinced.
All by himself, and he really needs a friend. Okay, I'll back the trailer up. See you later. Did they sign anything? Did they have paperwork? Did they do anything? Oh my God, I hate this woman. I want her dead.
There were a lot of people wanting to go to the trial. I noticed on your post on Facebook, you had thousands of comments. Yes. It was crazy.
Oh, I couldn't keep up with it last night. It was unreal. My phone was blowing up. It was crazy. But you know, some of them did have signed contracts. Not all of them. Most of them were verbal. Some of them were through text messages or Facebook messages. But they were, you know, clear in the agreement that the fact that if she could not keep the horse was to be returned to them.
Well, those are the ones they're going to get her on, right? I mean, those are the easiest ones to get her on, where there's actually something in writing.
Well, that's what we're hoping. But, you know, some of the officers have been a little hesitant to pursue it too much because they feel like, you know, oh, you signed the horse over to her. You didn't stop her from loading the horse on the trailer. Well, yeah, that's, you know, that's true. But at the time, they didn't know. Had they known what she was going to do with these horses, they would have never turned those horses over to her.
Here's what I'm going to do, y'all. I'm not going to take her, and I'm not going to put her in the pasture with my old barrel horse. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put her on a trailer, and I'm going to take him to Alabama, and I'm going to run him through the sale and see if I can get $120 for him. And then he goes on down the meat market. You guys okay with that, y'all? All right, sign here. No, nobody's okay with that.
Yeah, nobody's okay with that. That's for sure. But yeah, it's been... Definitely there was interesting seeing the information.
Wasn't there a case like this in Pennsylvania recently, right out of the Penn National Track, where the guy was arrested, was arrested in Pennsylvania. They were just getting him off the track and promising they were going to aftercare, and she was bringing him to New Holland. I think that was recently, if I remember correctly, too. And it was the same kind of scam. And this lady, obviously, she was looking at multiple states to do this scam. She was probably watching Facebook. And the really hard part about this is you just described a couple of the people that needed to find new homes for their horses. These people are at their most vulnerable time. They need this horse out of there for whatever reason. And, you know, and you get that Jamie girl coming. You get that Fallon girl coming with her accent there. It sounds good.
I promise I'll take real good care of him, okay? I promise I won't put him on a trailer and take him down to Alabama, run him through sale, okay, y'all? I'll take really good care of my vet student. But, like, what kind of terrible person? Like, why would you have worked this hard in your life to get to vet school and you're in your third year and this is the way you decide to make some extra money? Sell drugs. I don't know. Do something else. I mean, but you just ruined your entire life because nobody's going to hire you as a veterinarian.
Oh, and I guarantee you she's going to get kicked out of vet school.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, because this your oath that you take to be a veterinarian is to protect and take care of those animals, you know, and here you are like lying to people and running their you know what? I'll go ahead. I'll put your horse down. I know he's sick and I'll put him down. And of course, she's going to like load him in a trailer when she's a vet and take him to sale. Like what? You can never trust her. She's ruined her life and the lives of others, obviously. But what a terrible, bad decision.
It's horrible. It is a very bad decision. A lot of research has gone into this situation from not just our organization, but attorneys have been looking into it, you know, some investigation work. And, you know, we're certain there's other people involved, not just her. They were using her as a front.
Right.
Because she had a very good sale. I mean, she had a great sales pitch. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, had I been in the position that these victims are in, I probably would have fallen for it too.
Right.
You know,
oh, absolutely.
You ran a background check on her? Nothing. Nothing.
Really?
She was clean as could be on her background check. And she was, you know, and still is considered a vet student at the school. There's articles on their website with her name listed on it where she got her coat. At the white coat ceremony last year. So it all checked out, and it's unfortunate that somebody that had a goal in their life to go and do something wonderful and have a wonderful career would fall into something like this and wind up in the shoes that she's in right now.
Absolutely. She's ruined her life and probably, you know, she wanted some extra money to buy some drugs. I'm just making assumptions and people just do really stupid things. But she just ruined everybody else's life too. Like these people are never going to trust anybody ever again. And they're going to have guilt for the rest of their lives. That's the kind of stuff you wake up at 3 a.m. and you lose sleep for nights forever because you put your horse through that.
They're having a really hard time.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they are. Ugh. Well, I'm so glad you guys are in on this. And I'm so glad Stolen Horse International and Nat Posse is out there and you're doing the good work. I want you to promise me something right now, Pam.
What's that?
I need you to make sure that Fallon Blackwood, this follows her the rest of her life and she never gets a job ever. And please let us know when she gets kicked out of vet school.
Well, that is what we are definitely hoping for. And it sounds horrible. It really does. But at the same time, she has done the worst thing imaginable to these individuals. Mm-hmm. And what is bothersome to a lot of people is the fact that the school has not made any public real effort to show that they're even extremely concerned about the situation.
So it's Tuskegee University. Let's find out where the vet school is and let's write some letters. And
I'll tell you what I'll do. We have our guest booker, Denise, and she's probably listening this morning. Denise, contact Tuskegee and let's get them on for a comment and let's put the pressure on them.
Oh, yeah.
So let's put the pressure on them. They're not going
to
come on.
After
but
she was arrested on one.
But once they realize it's gone public and it's gone viral, they're going to have no choice. They're going to have no choice.
Right.
She was arrested on campus.
On campus. Yes.
I'd love to get Tuskegee on to talk about that.
And she should still be in the Macon County Jail in Alabama at this point in time, waiting to be extradited back to North Carolina.
All right. Good. Pam, thank you. Thank you and Debbie for all the work you do over there. Give the website out again.
It's www.netposse.com.
All right. Keep us informed on this one. Let us know what's going on with it, okay?
We will definitely do that. We appreciate you very much for getting us on this morning.
All right. Thanks, Pam.
Man, you got me fired up. I'm mad.
Look what you did to my co-host today.
I'm sorry. Maybe it'll be a better day from now on.
It is, because she's in prison. So yeah. There you go. She's in jail. She's been arrested. I'm coming for you, Fallon. We're not done here.
Thanks, Pam.
Y'all have a wonderful day.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, so I thought, well, what song could I play after that? And we're coming back with Bad Advice for Horse People. It's just that kind of day. I thought, you know, Love is a Rose by Templeton Thompson would be appropriate after that.
It is already 10 o'clock.
You want to just keep going?
Let's skip the song. We'll do Bad Advice, and then we got to read the book still.
Okay,
remember.
Yeah, all right, that's right. Okay, good. So, all right, so this is...
Love is Not a Rose. I'm not going to ruin Templeton Thompson like that.
No. She has a sweet Southern accent, too. You know, just to follow it up, though, by the way, your Southern accent was terrific. But that's exactly why she got away with it. If it had been a Brooklyn accent, she'd have never gotten away with it. I hate to say that, but it's true. People believe girls with Southern accents. They just sound all sweet.
That's why I perfected it.
That's
I get whatever I want.
That's true. If it was our friend Diane who's been on this show with her Brooklyn accent, forget it. She'd have never been on. It had never worked. But oh well.
You just sound sweet when you're Southern.
That's true. And okay. Southern girls, we all know they don't do anything wrong.
And now it's time for Bad Advice for Horse People by Horse People.
And this comes from, of course, the internet, and I'm going to read I'm seeking advice, and then I'm going to read, mind you, there were 10 million comments on this, so I've just selected and edited some of the best ones. So this is opinion needed. Anytime, by the way, you start out your Facebook post with opinions needed, you're going to get them. I've owned my mare for about 3 years, and I'm ready to find a new home for her. She has become increasingly difficult for me, both riding and on the ground. She's never bucked under saddle, but has reared. She does both on the lunge. She is very disrespectful, and I don't have the confidence or experience to regain or her respect or trust her anymore. My question is, who's experienced something similar, and how and where did you find a suitable home for this difficult horse? I love her and care for her. I just really want the horse to find a more suitable home. She probably just
Jamie, you're coming in and out on us. I think your cord on your mic is a little.
Oh no! Hold on, I'll unplug and replug.
Okay, so she left Monty's and left her mic stand there, so she's holding the mic. We're getting.
I'm
her
having
a new one.
To hold the mic. This reading the book is going to be really hard. Is this any better?
That's better. Yes. Just don't move around. Just stand still.
Freeze. I can't read the book today. We're going to have to.
Well, the first thing this person should do is not talk to anybody named Fallon Blackwood. That's the first thing.
You know what? I'm looking for a horse like this to put in a pasture with my barrel horse. Okay, so I love and care for her. I just really want to find her a more suitable home. She probably just needs a more experienced person. Blah, 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 blah. All right, so here's the list of people that are super helpful. Again, this lady is asking for some advice on how to find her horse a new home, not what's wrong with her horse. Keep that in mind. What you need to do is have her checked for ovarian tumors. Next one. I know this sounds cruel, but all that money you're spending and all that time could be spent on having fun on a horse that you enjoy. And that's a way to look at it. That's not at all what she has. She knows that.
So what does that mean?
I know this sounds cruel, but you're wasting your money. Yeah, thanks. I know.
But she still has a horse. What's she wasting her money?
That's not
helpful. Not solve the problem. No.
This is, again, this is bad advice for horse people, and it's also non-advice for horse people. And people love to tell their story, like this next one. I had a very similar experience. I bought a 4-year-old. And get the sound effects ready, people. I had a very similar experience. I bought a 4-year-old when I was 12.
Green makes black and blue.
Needless to say, after getting her home and healthy, she turned into a different horse than what we initially thought. She became increasingly difficult and bucked me off countless times. Yeah, that's because you're 12 and you have a 4-year-old off the track. Terrible idea.
the next advice. When was the last time she's had SI injections done? My horse needed them, and then his whole behavior would change, especially when in work, when it was time to be injected again. Now, do people regularly do SI injections? Like, it's like a thing?
I don't even know what SI injections are.
It's in their back. They just inject their back, because that sounds cheap and easy.
Yeah.
The next person.
And not painful at all.
Again, remember the person was asking for how and where do you find a suitable home for a difficult horse? The next person. Does her tack fit? Does her saddle fit? Is she physically and mentally ready to do what's asked of her? Does she understand your cues? Have you moved to a new barn? Did you have a death of a pasture mate? Is there a change in your schedule? You need help.
Poor woman.
Thanks. Thanks for that. Next, most of my own horses were too difficult for their owners, but they're perfect for me. That's helpful. That's really helpful.
You know what this is telling me, though? This is why Fallon Blackwood got away with what she got away with.
Exactly.
Because she came in with the solution that was exactly what the people wanted to hear.
Yeah.
That's why she got away with it probably 100 times.
You're taking the fun out of this whole segment.
I'm sorry, but it's true. I mean, it's just making me realize right after that that this is why she got away with it.
Because people like this are looking for homes for their horses.
Yes.
But there's a lot of people that are offering really helpful advice on how to fix the horse, Glenn, okay?
Right.
The next person says, you need to find a trainer that you can trust and give her to them. So at least they said find somebody you can trust that you know is a trainer.
Debbie just messaged me that she just got another call from another victim of Fallon during the show while we're talking.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. That's brutal. I feel like I should just quit now.
Oh, yeah, let's just quit this segment. It's just reminding me of Fallon. It's just it's
You're
funny that you had this particular one right after that. I mean, it's true. It just emphasizes the point of how it can happen.
Well, here's the next helpful person. Although I can ride mares well, I don't enjoy the ride. I prefer a gelding without an opinion. Helpful. Yeah, change your horse's sex. If you want a keeper, learn Pirelli and use it. Almost done here. I bought a mare a year ago, completely sane. Again, this person is asking for help on where to put her horse. I bought a mare a year ago, completely sane, good work ethic, just needed some patience. 2 weeks in, she sustained a superficial cut that required stitches and 2 weeks stall rest. And then she turned into a completely different horse. Dangerous, pushy, rearing, kicking, you name it. I gave her back to the breeders. Because that's usually an option.
I'm really surprised the breeders took her back, actually.
I'm going to skip through the advice of give her away. One said euthanizer, helpful. Give her to a vet school. You said you're in Arizona, right? You need to find a cowboy, but someone who's used to starting rough stock. And the final one. Here. Is she only that way towards you? Because mine is a total witch to only me. That's a you
problem.
That
probably says a little something about you.
Yeah. And then the final one is, of
Who
course.
Would admit that, by the way? Who would say that and not think to themselves, there must be something to that?
Yeah, that's true. But the final one, of course, is, have you checked for ulcers?
Of course. If there's a post on Facebook about a horse that doesn't say check for ulcers, I'll give them $1 for every time there's not a post like that.
Yeah, and
I won't give any money away. No.
That's true.
No. It's always check for ulcers. I'm All disappointed right, well, when here, I don't see it, actually. It's like, where was the ulcer guy?
So. I was like, why did that take so long for somebody to say ulcers? Hello. Everybody's too
That's not
too
to discount ulcers.
Offering.
We know horses have ulcers, but you have to be a longtime listener to understand this particular conversation.
All you have to do is look at the internet and you'll understand.
Yeah.
So Glenn, I'm not going to read the book because I can't hold the book in one hand and the microphone
we'll skip
in the other. Again,
week.
I forgot my mic stand. It will be delivered tomorrow. So
we'll continue the book next week. Besides, after talking about Fallon and this particular segment you just did, going to murder is not a good progression. So I think you're probably right.
You know what? I'm like, you've ruined this segment for me.
Well, just was right after Fallon. You couldn't have picked one that just fit right after that. It was just, that way. Just went
Fallon Blackwood. I'm now, if your name is Fallon, I'm sorry, because I'm going to not like you.
I know a nice Fallon that I don't think is ripping people off. So there's that. Sure. I do know a nice one. Okay. Well, I don't know how to end this without...
play the song. Play the song.
Love is a Rose. We're going to end with Love is a Rose because it'll take everybody out in a happy mood instead of thinking about Fallon. And we'll be back here tomorrow with the Draft Horse episode. That's all happy. That's all just about big, big, big cuddly horses. And then Friday, we'll be back with Really Bad Ads. So get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Look on Craigslist, Facebook, wherever you need to go for your Really Bad Ads. And we'll do that coming up on Friday's show. Templeton Thompson, Love is a Rose, to take you out in a happier mood.
Love is a rose, but you better not pick it. Only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you missed it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. I want to see what's never been seen. I want to live that age-old dream. Come on, boy, let's go together. Let's take the best ride now. Take the best ride now. Love is a rose, but you better not pick it. Only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you miss it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. I wanna go to an old hoedown long ago in a western town. Pick me up, cause my feet are dragging. Give me a lift and I'll hail your wagon. Love is a rose, but you better on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you missed it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. On the vine, handful of thorns, and you know you missed it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. Love is a rose, but you better not pick it. Only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns, and you know you missed it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. Mine. Love is a rose. Love is a rose.